Greetings and welcome to Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
Today, we're going to North Carolina. We're braving the social distancing. We're going to North Carolina to look at a singer-songwriter who's part of a misnamed band and then became a solo act.
Who would that be?
Bare Naked Ladies, also a misnamed band. I know I thought about this a long time ago. I was like, oh yeah, that'd be a great trivia question. These listening fans. There you go, Righteous Brothers are listening. They're not really good. Neither are the Thompson twins. Neither are the twins.
Oh, there's three of them, aren't there?
There were three of them, and none of them named Thompson. They took the name from the cops in Tim Town.
Also, The Cure is not The Cure.
At least. It hasn't worked so far this last month. I've been listening to it like crazy, and nothing's happened. Anyway, yes, we're talking about Ben Folds and Ben Folds. Let's start talking about him. Just quit hearing this crazy track. Benjamin Scott Folds was born in 1966, a singer, songwriter, musician, composer, and producer from North Carolina. His interest in the piano started at the age of 9. While he was in high school, he played as the pianist, drummer, and bassist in many bands. He dropped out of the University of Miami after failing the jury section of the scholarship percussion program.
In his book, Chasing Fireflies or Looking at Fireflies Butts or whatever it's called, I don't remember, but it's a fantastic book. He goes into extreme...
Probably with a really memorable name, too.
Well, it's something about fireflies, and I can't remember. Just Ben Folds Fireflies, look it up. It's a great book. In the Audible version, he actually reads it himself. He goes into explicit great detail about this event, failing this jury selection, and the events of the night before, and going in, and the whole bit. And it really kind of gives you a very clear window into who he was, and why he is what he is today.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. Did you listen to the whole thing?
No, I as soon as we decided we were going to cover him this season, I purchased it on Audible and listened to it like two months ago.
Dude, wow. That's devotion. Devotion to the craft, man.
Hey, I got to do homework. I got to keep up with you.
I don't know about that. Very good. All right, cool. Well, I'm sure we'll hear more about the book and some of the stuff he says in it as we keep going. After dropping out of University of Miami, he focused more on piano skills and technique. He then enrolled in the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. I've been there. Beautiful, man. It's a beautiful part of North Carolina. That's one of the states I'd love to move to someday. I'm sure I won't because I love the Rockies and Colorado too much. But if I had to move out of Colorado for whatever reason, if that restraining order sticks, then I'll move to North Carolina. I really like Wilmington. He formed a band named Majosha with him on bass and two longtime friends, Evan Olson and Millard Powers. And their first gig was the Duke Battle of the Bands, and they won. They released an LP that both sold well regionally.
In his book, I've come to a conclusion. I think he's a brilliant musician, but I'm not sure if I could work with him. He seems like he could be kind of difficult at times, both as in a relationship, because he's had a few relationships he's very honest about, but also he seems kind of particular.
Like and, demanding kind of thing?
Yeah,
like,
and Steve Vai is this way. There are a lot of people who are this way, and it's a credit to them as artists because they are that particular, but I don't know if I could personally work with someone who's that particular all the time.
Yeah, sure. No, that makes sense. I think that's the blessing and the curse, right? You know, you're really, really good at what you do, but it's because you're that particular and that specific that you maybe turn some people off. I totally get that. Ben got a music publishing gig in Nashville shortly after another short-lived band in 1990. While there, he worked as a session drummer. All these drumming things in his background.
Well, explains how he really does explain how he plays piano, because he doesn't just play. He bangs on the doggone thing.
He does bang on the piano. Yeah, it's a very percussive performance on the piano. This is true. In 1993, he moved to New Jersey and began to act a little bit. He was playing at a local cafe. The next year, he moved back to Chapel Hill and formed the trio with Robert Sledge on bass and Darren Jesse on drums.
He said that he came up with the name Ben Folds 5 as a joke, and the fact that 5 sounded better than Ben Folds 3.
Yeah, it's totally true. Ben Folds Five, because people say, oh, there's five people. No, there's just three people. And you remember that, right? Mm-hmm. You remember the joke. But if he was Ben Folds Three, eh. Plus, he's totally right. Ben Folds Three, because you almost want to, you would totally like screw it up and go Ben Folds Free.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
He described the music as punk rock for sissies. In 1995, they released their debut album, Ben Folds Five. It contained many songs that would become mainstays in concert, like Jackson Canary. Overall, the album was well received. However, it only charted in Australia at number 37 and in Japan at number 72. They followed that one up in 1997 with Whatever and Ever Amen. This contained their biggest hit, which was a song called Brick.
The smell of cold, car seat is freezing, the world is sleeping, I am.
This album holds a lot of personal tie to me because this was popular when I was going through my divorce, and Song for the Dumped really holds a lot of personal attachment to me. So it's an interesting tie, but I won't get into it because it's not about that. It's just about the song and how it relates to me.
Mm-hmm. you don't want to tell us how?
No, okay. No. It was just a rough time, and the song was just like the catharsis kind of that I need.
The right time.
Yeah.
I totally get that. By the way, an early version of that song, Song for the Dumb, ended up on the Mr. Wrong soundtrack.
I'd forgotten that was even a movie until I typed that line.
Right, because it was Ellen DeGeneres.
Uh-huh.
And every Mr. would be Mr. Wrong to Ellen DeGeneres. It was before she came out, before we knew that.
Yeah, even Bruce Campbell is Mr. Wrong, because that's...
Right.
Yeah.
But that chin.
Yeah, that chin.
That album, by the way, Whatever and Ever Amen, was remastered a few years ago, 2005, with all of the B-sides and extra music added, including a cover he did of the Buggles' Video Killed the Radio Star, which is a concert staple. First pressing of the album, an actual argument between bandmates was placed between Brick and Song for the Dumped, but it was taken out of subsequent releases. Also on the first pressing, there was a hidden track called Evaporate, which also evaporated. In 1998, Naked Baby Photos was released. This is a compilation album made up of outtakes and live songs. So he's only released two albums so far, and he's already released like a B-sides and rarities album.
Mm-hmm. Which tells you how much stuff he's churning out. Talking now, does she know what they're saying? She's got the air to float above, and I'm sinking into someone should pay. She's dear to me, and so expensive. I'm not talking about totally, yeah. In 1999, they released the unauthorized biography of Reinhold Messner. The title is a reference to the name on his drummer's fake ID when he was a teenager. What a great fake ID name. They were unaware of the real person, but there was a real person who climbed Everest without the aid of oxygen. He was thanked in the liner notes for his understanding. The singles released were Army and Don't Change Your Plans. The messages in your most valuable possession were his actual dad recorded on his answering machine. They Might Be Giants did that too with one of their B-sides was something recorded from their answering machine. I love that.
There were a number of outtakes that, again, were released as B-sides of the singles or released in other places.
One of those singles was called Leather Jacket, and it was not only just a B-side, but it was also found on the No Boundaries. It was a CD benefit for the Kosovar refugees.
It's cool. I don't have that. I might have to look for that one. I wonder if there's some cool stuff on there. He also recorded a cover of Berrytown, originally by Steely Dan, for the soundtrack to Me, Myself, and Irene. That was the final release before the band broke up. By the way, that soundtrack was originally going to be a Steely Dan tribute album. It was like going to be all covers of Steely Dan. They ended up reworking it for the movie. They kept most of the songs on there. Most of the songs on there are covers, but they added a few non-cover tracks for the movies the Farrelly Brothers did.
Wow.
Yeah, makes you wonder what else they might have added had it kept on going as a Steely Dan cover album. Because officially, to my knowledge, there's no major label release of a Steely Dan tribute album, which is kind of surprising for me.
No, and actually, I want to cover Steely Dan because I'm realizing as we do this show that they are more of an influence on people than I realized.
Oh, they are, and I will happily do a Steely Dan episode of Soundography.
Okay,
they're one of my favorites, and they're one of Tina's least favorite bands, and it'd be fun to talk about that. because they'll come up in shuffle. I'll put on iTunes shuffle or something, and I'll start going do do do, and I'll just look right at Tina like I'm just like, hey, look at this, a Steely Dan song. Ooh, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
And she hit next. Amazing that she
punched me. Yeah, certainly deserve it. Then Folds 5 had started working on a fourth album, but those songs would find their way onto later solo albums, including the very first one from Ben Folds' solo, "Rock in the Suburbs." This was released on September 11th, 2001. Kind of got overshadowed.
Can you name another album that was released on September 11th, 2001?
Ooh, no, I can't.
Dream Theater's Live Scenes from New York.
Oh, no, really? Uh-huh. Oh, that's bad timing.
It is. They pulled it because they're a big time New York band. So sure. Within a couple of days, the album was pulled completely off the shelves and they sat on it till October, changed the cover because the cover actually had a silhouette of New York. That prominently featured the Twin Towers, and the city was burning.
Oh, geez.
And so,
So
they changed the album cover, and it was released, I think, October of that year, later that year.
Wow. I certainly didn't realize that Rock in the Suburbs was released on that date. That's crazy. But, you know, you had to think it was a Tuesday, and albums were coming out on Tuesday back then. I think they've moved to Fridays.
I think so, too.
Currently.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Tuesday was new. Used to be new album day, and there had to be a bunch of albums that came out that day.
I think there's a Michael Hedges album. I think there's a Michael Hedges album that came out that day too. Because I left the house. The only reason I left the house that day was to get my stitches out because I'd had my hands operated on, and so we stopped by Media Play on the way to the doctor's office to pick up the Dream Theater album and the Michael Hedges album.
Oh wow. I left the house that day to head to the airport to fly to New York.
Which didn't happen.
I was going up to Rochester to do an install at the newspaper up there. And got halfway to the airport and you know, that back then I was listening to the radio. If I was listening to my own music, I probably would have gotten all the way to the airport before I found out that it was closed and what had happened. But the first plane had gone to the tower when I left for work because my mother-in-law was watching Tristan that day. And she, the Today Show came on and we were watching them like, oh man, well, I'll see. I got out of the airport. And it was on the radio on the way that I heard about the rest of the stuff going on. And
wow.
Like, okay, wow, this is crazy. It went from being like an accidental pilot mistake to being what it turned out to be in the course of me driving to the airport.
Wow.
That's nuts. It's totally nuts thinking about that. Rock in the Suburbs, by the way, the title track peaked at number 28 on modern rock charts.
Let me tell y'all what it's like being male, middle class, and white. It's a bitch if you don't believe. Listen up to my new CD, Sham On.
Yeah, the album people are referring to.
So there's a remake of this song on the soundtrack to the Over the Hedge film from 2006.
And it's fantastic.
And it features The Shat on it.
Very angry William Shatner.
Uh-huh,
like
a very angry one.
Disgruntled.
Yep.
What is that guy doing?
Get off my lawn.
Yeah. On that album, by the way, the Rock in the Suburbs, Ben played almost all of the instruments himself. I mean, we know he can, right? Because we know that he does all that, plays all those other instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And Weird Al Yankovic directed and appeared in the video for Rock in the Suburbs. John McRae from Cake was featured on Fred Jones Part 2 from that album. A couple years, actually the next year, Ben released Ben Folds Live. This was the first time that the classic live routine of Rock This Bitch was released.
So I'm trying to figure out what to do next. I think maybe the Western Australia Symphony Orchestra should play in A minor.
He's performed this about 60 plus times. Improvised song that started back when somebody during a live show actually yelled, rock this bitch. And he's like, oh yeah, I know that one. And he made it up on the spot. So every time someone yells that, he performs it.
So the song wasn't originally, there wasn't originally a Rock This Bitch.
No.
It became a song because of somebody yelling
and
that.
Every time it's played, it's different.
Oh, that's awesome. Jeez. That's really, really cool. I love that. I wonder if there's anything else like that, like any other examples of that in rock and roll where somebody, a band came up with a song on the spot and then continues to play it to this day.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good one. But if anyone could do it, it'd be him.
Yeah, for sure.
I was going to say, because he got the sense of humor and the chops.
He totally does. You know, we haven't even brought up his sense of humor, but the guy clearly has a great sense of humor, a very acerbic, maybe even offensive at times, sense of humor, which mm-hmm. I love hearing in his songs.
Also, he's very self-effacing.
Yeah, it's a great time to talk about that because Rock in the Suburbs is a great example of that, right? Because he talks about, it's just like Michael Jackson, except Michael Jackson was talented, mm-hmm. or Quiet Riot compares himself to Quiet Riot, but except they were talented.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I think it's really, really funny. There was a DVD that came out that accompanied the release of Ben Folds Live. In 2003, he joined Ben Harper and Ben Queller for a group and an EP appropriately titled The Bends.
We're famous, contagious. We make outrageous claims. Public enemy, the royal family. Game over, pink champagne. Let there be no doubt about it. You are dancing in my
crosshairs. They do some amazing harmony work on this album.
Mm-hmm.
Four songs, I think, on it, but it's really, really good.
Yep.
He also released three EPs from 2003 to 2004 called Speed Graphic, Sunny 16, and Super D. And then he merged them all into one long LP called Super Sunny Speed Graphic, the LP,
mm-hmm.
and has some great stuff on there. In 2004, he worked with William Shatner on his album Has Been, met for the Over the Hedge thing and then continued working. And that great song, that Common People cover that William Shatner does, came from this album. Ben Folds is, of course, producing the whole thing. And then you've got Joe Jackson on vocals with William Shatner. And it's such a great, what a great three people to pull together for something. That whole album is really, really good.
I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. I want to sleep with common people. I want to sleep with common people like you. Well, what else could I do? I said, I'll see what I can do.
And then William Shatner came back and did that Rocket Man horrible nightmare of an album right after it. So it was like, okay, well, we see where the magic came from, and it wasn't from William Shatner. Clearly it was from Ben. 2005, Ben Folds released Songs for Silverman. It featured Jared Reynolds and Lindsay Jameson on there. Late was a tribute to Elliott Smith, and on the song Time, Weird Al Yankovic sang backup.
Ben had played piano on Why Does This Always Happen to Me, which was a Weird Al Yankovic song.
Around,
send people back to episode low number
5.
Yeah, it was one of those early episodes.
Episode early?
Episode early, where we talked about Weird Al Yankovic, and great little tease there. So I mentioned earlier the Super Sunny Speed Graphic LP. That one came out in 2006 and was a compilation of those three EPs. In October 2006, he was the first to do a live by request concert over MySpace.
And this is the best part. He released this on DVD later in 2007, and it's called Live at MySpace.
And there's probably people who pick up that album and are like, oh, well, that's cool. What is a MySpace? At least, you know, there'd be a generation now that probably would have no idea what that is. In 2008, he released an album, Way to Normal. This was his highest charting album ever in the U.S. It went all the way up to number 11. And during this time, he announced a project he was going to be doing with the author Nick Hornby. This would be called Lonely Avenue, and it would be released in 2010. Basically, Nick Hornby is the guy who wrote About a Boy and High Fidelity. A lot of really cool English books. There's one that's all about soccer, and a lot of them been turned into movies. And he wrote this story about a teenager who gets his girlfriend pregnant with the intention that Ben Folds would just create a pseudo soundtrack to it. It was never released as a book or as a screenplay or anything like that. It's only released as this Ben Folds concept album. And it's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
In 2009, he released Ben Folds Presents University Acapella. This was a collection of his songs that were performed by college acapella groups. And this is where I first heard one of my favorite Ben Folds songs, but I'm not going to talk about it now. I'll talk about it when we get to my playlist. But it's a really cool, really cool idea for an album, for the guy to produce an album of covers of his songs by these college acapella groups who probably jumped at the chance to do this. How could you not, you know, if you're a fan? In 2009, he was a judge on Sing Off, which was an acapella singing competition show. I can't remember who. One of the judges was Nicole Scherzinger of the Pussycat Dolls. And the other one was, I want to say it was a guy from New Edition.
Sharon maybe? Osbourne.
No, it wasn't Sharon. It's, yes, from me. No, it wasn't Sharon Osbourne. But it really deepened my appreciation for Ben Folds watching that. He was probably one of the only reasons I watched that. Of course, seeing some of the acapella groups as well. He was so down to earth and had such great advice for these contestants, these bands that were performing.
Well, it was funny because really you could tell his feedback was pointed to them musically. It wasn't like, this is a great song. You guys look great. This was the way you modulated, blah, 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 blah. And the way this happened and the way you brought in this. And he was talking to them structurally about music. Might have lost some of the people, but it really was helpful information.
That was great. Yeah. So good. 2012, he released The Sound of Life and Mind. This marked the results of a short-lived reunion of Ben Folds 5. Do It Anyway featured Chris Hardwick, Rob Corddry, Anna Kendrick, and the Fraggles.
It's risky. People love to tear that down. Let them try. Do it anyway. Risk it anyway. And if you're paralyzed by a voice in your head, it's a standing still that should be scaring you instead. Go on and do it anyway.
Hearing on this thing.
Have you seen that video?
I have not. I had no idea about this. I gotta check this out.
Yeah, the video is really pretty entertaining.
I listened to the album, obviously, but I had no idea about the movie or the video.
Yeah.
Folds premiered a piano concerto that he wrote for the Nashville Symphony as well. In 2015, he released So There. This was a collaboration with Y Music Ensemble. It contains a combination of chamber pop songs and the aforementioned concerto that he wrote for Nashville. And then in 2018, he released Mr. Peepers. This was a single commissioned by the Washington Post about Rod Rosenstein's conflict with Republicans during the Russian investigation.
This island down to ashes. What's the rule of law if we can't agree on what a fact is? There ain't nothing here to see, folks. Move along, move along. Thank God for facts as stubborn things indeed.
The title is Donald Trump's nickname for him. Mr. Peepers. That was not intended to be a Trump impersonation.
Mr. Peepers.
Lest anybody think so.
Mr. Peepers in the Accordion of Lies.
Yes, exactly. All right. Tell me about some statistics in general.
We've talked about a lot of this. His music has appeared in many, many soundtracks. It was in Hoodwinked, which was a, I guess, a big level animated story about Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, it's funny. I just thought about that a couple days ago, but it was right. It was like Red Riding Hood and a bunch of the other fairy tale characters getting busted for crime.
Yeah, it's strange. It's not great, but it's worth looking because it does have some really solid voices in it. And of course, music. So there's that.
Yeah. Yep.
Then he worked on Over the Hedge, and this was the song. This had also not only had like Rock in the Suburbs with Shatner, also had a cover of a Clash song called Lost in the Supermarket.
That was a guaranteed personality. I wasn't born so much as I fell out. Nobody seemed to notice me. We had a hedge back home in the suburbs over which I never could see. I heard the people who lived on the ceiling.
And then he also did the music, a song that was in the Jim Carrey Grinch film. And I think we'll be talking about that later.
Will we now?
Unless I changed my list, we'll be talking about later. And I can't remember if I did or not.
Excellent. All right. Well, cool. I can't wait to find out.
He wrote a book, came out not too long ago. He reads the Audible version. And it feels like it's a very honest book because it doesn't glorify himself as an artist or a musician. It kind of paints himself as a person. And a very flawed learning how to be a person.
That's cool. So kind of self-deprecating.
Yeah, it kind of fits in with that sense of humor, but he doesn't seem like he's pulling any punches on himself.
Yeah, I like that. That's cool. That's genuine. Again, you know, he seems like a genuine person because of stuff like that. All right, so Stairway to Heaven songs, we have a choice to make here. Do we look at Ben Folds solo? Do we look at Ben Folds 5 and say, all right, what did they all perform together the most in concert? I say we do Ben Folds.
Okay.
Since that's what this is about. Obviously, he's going to do Ben Folds 5 songs in concert solo.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we think he's going to be performing the most?
All right. So I picked Song for the Dumped, Army, One Angry Dwarf, Underground. You put Brick on the list. I think a sad song about depression is going to be one of the... I mean, it's a popular song, but I don't know if he's playing it all the time. But I picked Jackson Canary. Because it's old. It was one of the first singles.
And it did come up a few times on different expanded versions of albums, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there was the main version, and then there have been a few other versions live and outtake versions that have come up on other albums. So you might be right. All right, so we're going to start with Ben Folds solo, because that's what I said we would do. Zach and Sarah. Second track from Rock in the Suburbs is the most played song of his, 601 performances. Then Not the Same, which I can see, Landed, cover of the song he did with Ben Folds 5, Army, Annie Waits, Still Fighting It, One Angry Dwarf, and 200 Solemn Faces. You predicted that one. Effington, Rock in the Suburbs, and You Don't Know Me, rounding out the top of the list. Brick is 15th on the list. And I'm scrolling to see if Jackson Canary, if I'm missing, I'm missing 88th, tied for 88th with Carrie and Kathy is
wow.
Jackson Canary, wow. As far as his solo performances. Oh, he does some great covers. He does Tiny Dancer, Careless Whisper. He actually did Careless Whisper, a version of it with Rufus Wainwright that I almost included in the list. Free Bird he does in concert. So he actually... When I'm sure he says, you know, he takes requests and actually does Freebird.
Yeah.
Ben Folds 5 as a group, Song for the Dumped is the most common, followed by Underground, Philosophy, One Angry Dwarf, Brick.
Give me my money back, you bitch. I want my money back. And don't forget
Jackson Cannery is 7th on the list for Ben Folds 5. So there you go.
Okay.
Whatever that's worth. Average of those.
I'll figure out how to make that all work.
Yeah, I don't know how we do it, but that's the way it is. Next we talk about who we would like to hear them cover. And I'm going first, but I'm going to do it with a caveat that I'm not going to say I cheated, but I did get a little bit of influence from Hammond. I usually don't look at what he writes in the notes before I put in my information, right? I come up with what I'd like to hear Ben Folds cover. In this case, I saw what Hammond is. I'm still going to let you talk about that. I'm not going to give it away. But I saw what he picked and I said, oh, you know, made me think of another song, a song by Queen called Love of My Life. It's really, it's as much of a Freddie Mercury solo song as it is a Queen group song. It's Freddie Mercury at the piano singing, and it's a very slow, romantic piano ballad that is so perfect for Ben Folds' wheelhouse. He wouldn't be able to do his banging percussion kind of stuff, or maybe he would find a way to do it, but it would be a perfect showcase of his range as a vocalist and his amazing talent as a pianist. And so I'd love to hear him cover Love of My Life by Queen. It's amazing that I haven't seen any Queen covers by Ben Folds. He's covered the Beatles. He's covered so many other performers, but no Queen as far as I could find.
Oh, he's waiting to have the Fraggles help him cover Rhapsody in Blue.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody in Blue. You just gave me the idea for a great mashup. All right. So tell me about your choice for the perfect cover.
I picked a newer song than the Queen song. I went with Blues Traveler, and I picked the song, oddly enough, with the title Love of My Life. And I love this song. This is one of my favorite Blues Traveler songs. And I really think that with his skills as an arranger, he could take the bones of the Blues Traveler song and change it very clearly and very classically into one of his songs and still have the Blues Traveler influences, but seasoned very heartily with himself as an arranger. And I think there could be some real cool things that are done with that.
I love that. And I want to go hear the Blues Traveler song, so I know what you're talking about. I mean, I'm sure we did when we did episode
3.
Early.
3.
3.
Yeah. I know that one. That one's 3.
Is it 3? Okay. There you go.
No, and I think I picked Love of My Life for that too, because it is literally one of my favorite Blues Traveler songs.
All right, let's do our playlist. This is where we each pick 5 songs that if you assemble with a greatest hits collection, then you're going to have a really good wide range of stuff to listen to by the artist. In this case, I might actually have picked a greatest hits, and I'm totally fine with that because he's released a 4-disc greatest hits album. So it makes it a little difficult to pick around, whatever. So I feel like I'm justifying my first choice. No, it's not your thing to care. No, it's cool to be so bored. Sucks me in when you're sucks me in, it sucks, it works. I guess it's cool to be alone. Will you never rest? Find a battle. My first choice is a Ben Folds 5 song, Battle of Who Could Care Less, from Whatever and Ever, Amen. I love this song. I love the vibe of it. I love the harmony vocals, the do 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 do. And I love the title, just the Battle of Who Could Care Less. Like, it's such a, you just picture a couple of people arguing, no, I care less. No, yeah. I care less.
It's like Silent J and Bob arguing over apathy.
Right. It kind of is. Yeah. Well, the second time they've come up today, and I need to see their new show, apparently their new movie. The next one, and pretty much all the rest of these are Ben Folds solo. Annie Waits. We found out that it's his one of his most played songs in concert. Annie Waits, for the last time. The clock never stops, never stops, never waits. comes from Rock in the Suburbs. And tell you what, if nothing else, you can argue that Ben Folds doesn't know how to launch into a solo career singing. This is the first track from his first debut of his first solo album. And I swear, it's the catchiest damn thing ever. I'm going to get pulled over one of these days because this song will come on again in shuffle. And as it plays that opening lick, I'm going to take my hands off the wheel to clap every verse. And a cop's going to see that and he's going to pull me over and ask me what my problem is. But I don't care. I'll say, listening to Annie Waits by Ben Folds.
So this brings me to the question. Can you name other songs that you have to, by law, clap to? Like have the claps that you have to tag along with?
Is it going to be obvious to say the Rembrandts?
See, that's one. That's almost too much of a given. I can think of
three others.
Yeah. I can think of three others off the top of my head.
All right. Is one of them Car Wash by Rolls Royce?
No, but that's a good one.
Okay. Yeah, that's one I would probably do.
Okay.
I can make your hands clap.
Oh, that's a good one too. See, now you're coming up with a new one. See, you're adding on to the list. Wow. I have three very specifics. I have Private Eyes by Hall & Oates.
Oh, that's totally one. Yeah.
Sure. The Yellow Rose of Texas.
Yeah. As evidenced by Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah. And Too Much Time on Your Hands from Styx.
Yeah. That's another good one.
But the Hall & Oates one, that's international law that you have to clap along
really
with that
is. Yeah, I think I think you can use that as a reason for taking your hands off the wheel. If you get pulled over, you just say, officer, I implore you, Private Eyes by Hall & Oates was playing on the radio.
And he goes.
Exactly. They're watching you. Next one for me is one of his best covers, In Between Days, from that Super Sunny Speed graphic LP. Of his EPs. It's such a great Cure cover, and it could be so hokey, but it isn't. It's done with so much love and affection, and turns it into a brand new song because it does have that percussive ban dan 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 dan, like that stuff he likes to do with the piano, and it's so good. The next one is the first track on Way to Normal. See, he knows how to start an album, and the song is called Effington.
Start a new effing life in Effington. I could change my name, grow a beard, start a family.
And it's about a town that he saw called Effington, and he wonders if people are constantly effing in Effington. And before I heard his version of it, his original version of it, I heard the cover done by the one of the a cappella bands on that college album. And I just loved the song. So I went back and listened to the original, and I love, no matter what version I hear of that song, I love it. It's so good. The last of my playlist choices is another cover. This one comes from the soundtrack to The Banger Sisters. If you forgot that Mr. Wrong was a movie, you have no hope for remembering a movie called The Banger Sisters. But he did a cover of Doctor My Eyes by Jackson Brown.
Tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise? Leave them open for so long.
And you're thinking, okay, yeah, I guess that'd be pretty good. The thing is so smack dab in his wheelhouse. That it's frightening. You could listen to this and think, this is so Ben Folds that had it come out closer to when Jackson Brown's version came out, you might be trying to figure out which one's the original, which one's the cover. But it's so good, and it's a great, if nothing else, it's a great reason to find the soundtrack to The Banger Sisters. How about you, Hammond? What have you got?
Well, my first one was the first song of theirs I ever heard, and it was on a late night TV show, kind of like, I don't know, like Kimmel or Fallon or Carsten or whoever was on at the time. It was just some late night thing. I was up late because I've been working graveyards, and I'm flipping around the TV's channels, and I find this guy playing piano, and he's actually strumming the strings in the piano at the beginning. Okay. I'm like, well, that's weird. And it starts off as Smoke.
All the rage, throw this book away. Rip out the mind in and tear the gloom. And all of the grief we never even knew. We had it all along.
From Whatever and Never Amen. And I really loved that song right from the moment I stopped and heard it there. Next day I went out, found out who it was, bought the albums, you know, started listening back and forth, and I really, really dug what he was doing. So this was a great introduction for me because he was doing something unique with the piano, and then the song set a mood and a tone that really hit me at the time. So good on him for being able to capture people that way. The next one I picked was Lonely Christmas Eve from the Grinch film. See, I did not change my list.
Look at that. We talked, we hinted about that.
They're making noise, 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 noise. How I hate their happy noise. There's only one thing I hate more, come to think of it. And that's the people.
Well, this really fits the mood and feel of that film. I don't care how you feel about the movie or not. I'm kind of mixed. I'm not a huge Jim Carrey fan, but if I'm going to list the Jim Carrey films that I like, this is near the top. I love the lyrics. It totally fits with the kind of the story without being the story. And he does a brilliant job of kind of wrapping the mood of that film into one song. So if you're going to make an advertisement for it, this would be it. Next one I picked was Stevens' Last Night from Whatever and Never Amen. This music conveys a super wacky, kind of out of control, manic evening. And it makes you wonder what was really going on to inspire the insanity and the kind of off the rails feel that this song has. And
yeah, like there actually had to be a real story behind this.
Yeah. And it makes you miss the fact that you missed out on this night. The next one I picked was Family of Me from Over the Hedge.
I am. Gotta tell myself, yeah, I'm a man. Looks grim right now. Pretty soon we'll be laughing about it.
This is such it's a much mellower song. It's a much more toned down reflection of who he is as an artist. But it also tells a really good story of what it is to be a family and how family is lots of different things and what it represents. And it fits that movie very well. My kids love that film. I like that film, and this song really does kind of tie it all together very well. And so, good on you, Ben, for, you know, having a heart. The next one I picked was from the Hamilton mixtape.
I'd forgotten about this.
And it's
good
a song,
choice.
And it's a song he did with Regina Spektor. And if I didn't know Hamilton, I would think this was just a Ben Folds song because his arrangement of it makes it his song.
Domestic life was never quite my style. When you smile, you knock me out, I fall apart. And I thought I was so smart. You will come of age with our young nation. We'll bleed and fight for you. We'll make it right for you.
It's no longer rooted in Hamilton's world. It is very firmly planted in Ben's world with his arrangement of it. And this shows that he's able to take the roots and the bones of a song, dip it in whatever sauce he uses, and then turns it into his thing without changing what the meaning of the song is or how good it is. So this stood out just because it's such an exemplary example of his talent and his skill as an arranger and composer.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great selection too. And it's funny that you say that you talk about the roots of the song because the Roots also did stuff on that album. So yeah, the roots of those songs were good too.
Yep.
That's a great one. It's I'm going to listen to that this afternoon, the Hamilton mixtape, because I'd forgotten how much I loved that. And I mean, technically, it's all Lin-Manuel Miranda covers on that thing. So I'm not going to miss my shot to listen to that album this afternoon. Ha! Very good. Well, that closes the book on Ben Folds. I think we can both confidently say that we're fans.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah,
wholeheartedly. He's a great musician, great arranger, great performer, and hope we continue to hear more from him.
And the thing I said earlier about him sometimes maybe having some me having a trouble working with him, I will say this: he must not be that bad of a dude, because one of the nicest guys with the best reputations in music is one of his friends in Weird Al Yankovic.
So, oh yeah, no kidding.
So if they can get along, then Ben can't be that bad of a dude.
Weird Al seems like a guy who would take no crap.
Uh-huh. You know? And, but is super nice too. So
right.
He's got one of the best reputations ever. So as far as that goes, there is something there, and you have to give him credit. Everybody has flaws.
Not me. All right. So let's talk about, just going to gloss right past that. Let's talk about next week. This is going to be a fun one. One of the first bands that I ever listened to, one of the first albums I ever owned, was an album called Queens of Noise by a band called The Runaways, an early rock punk girl group, not like the vocal groups like the Shirelles or the Chiffons or Supremes or any of those. This was like kind of a punk rock group that had some very questionable management by a dude named Kim Fowley.
Yep.
Well, we'll talk about all that stuff. Yep.
It's or this is like the bad management season with Badfinger and now the.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Wow. And this one's got some stories.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking next week about the Runaways. Yeah. The band that launched the careers of folks like Joan Jett, Lita Ford, Sherry Curry, Jackie Fox, who I've played trivia with on multiple occasions. We'll talk about all that. The Runaways coming up.
Oh, that's right. She's won like Jeopardy a bunch of times.
She has. And she even hosts trivia games these days. I think she's even hosting an online one, or has hosted an online one during the age of coronavirus that we might have to point people to. Anyway, The Runaways coming up next week on Soundography. In the meantime, get in touch with us. We love to hear your voice, even if you don't hear your specific voice except through email. Email us, soundographypodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. On there, we're at The Soundography, so tweet us, let us know what you think. Our website is soundography.com. Every episode we've ever done, and then some, is on that site. And you can check it all out. Every episode has our playlist, a link to where you can hear the songs on Spotify, a link to where you can buy some music we recommend from Amazon, as well as a place to support the show on Patreon. And if you are a Patreon supporter, we have something special that's going to be coming soon to ears near you. So stick around for that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're recording that tomorrow.
Patreon only.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah.
That's all we're going to say. That's it. If you really like the show, please leave a review so other people can discover it. Do it wherever you get your podcast: iTunes, Stitcher, Speaker, Spreaker, Splitcher, and Spoinker.
Belcher.
Maybe may be real.
Belcher.
It's Belcher. seems like a good place to leave things. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Ibbett saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.